You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So this message today is on gifts, and I've titled the message, Bring It. Turn to your neighbor and say, bring it. Bring it. With a little bit of sass, say, bring it. Love it. Awesome. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4 as we kick in from verse 32. Thank you, team. Coming up on the screen says this. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. Say, bring it. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to anyone who had need. Say, bring it. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet as well. Everybody say, bring it. Come to the party and bring your gift. Think with me to some of the best gifts and the worst gifts you've ever received in your life. When I think about the best gifts I've received recently, I got this wedding ring from Lisandri for my 30th birthday, and it's a Thomas Sabo ring, and I'd wanted a Thomas Sabo ring for a long time. Every time we walked past the store in Cheshire Oaks, I'd look in, you know, I'd be a bit sheepish and say, oh, one day I'd really love one of those rings. My 30th birthday, she got me this ring. Another great present from a friend is that I'm going to Silverstone in July. 30th birthday present. What a great gift. Feel so blessed. And I also think about some of the worst gifts I've received in my life. Think back to Christmas, and not Christmas when I was 8, 10, 14. Christmas just gone. And it's been like this every Christmas that my mom buys me a part of my Christmas collection of gifts. She buys me pairs of boxers from your mom. Pairs of boxers. It's not cool, lads, is it? It's awkward. Oh, thanks, Mom. This is weird. Parents are looking over because they've done exactly the same thing. Another interesting gift I received was here at church, actually. And the person's moved on to a different church. They're not here. I won't say their name. So, you know, I'm not going to embarrass the story, embarrass them, but they said they've got one thing for church that we're missing and we need. So before I seen the gift, they teed it up with this. They said, this gift we have to put on show for all the church to see every week. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm not, you know, committing myself to that. I don't know what this is. And this person upstairs has this big box, it's massive. They're excited, they're smiling. And remember, they said we should put this up for everybody to see in church. And I'm opening the box. And as I open the box, I see a Jesus on the cross, huge figurine who is totally naked. And I'm like, what do I do with a naked Jesus? Really? Thanks so much for the gift. Smiling, are we going to show it at church? As you can tell, we've not shown the naked Jesus at church. You've had these moments too. Brilliant gifts and awful gifts. And other times we come to the party and we forget to bring our gift, don't we? We arrive at someone's birthday, it's an anniversary, it's a wedding, and it feels so awkward, doesn't it? You have to like apologize. Oh, I have you a gift, I promise, but the gift's at home, and then you have to find another time to bring it, then you forget it again, then it gets awkward and uncomfortable, and you just neglect it, and then maybe you repackage it for somebody else and pretend that it never existed. And the reality is that a gift left at home is no gift at all. A gift left at home is no gift at all. And the danger for us is we can come to church and we can leave our gift at home. Our gift then lies dormant on the inside, potential on the inside that remains locked, possibility that remains unknown, a skill that never materializes in the house of God. A gift left at home is no gift at all. And I want to suggest today, as we close this series, as we package it all up together, I want to suggest four things about the gift that each one of us have to bring into the house of God. Everybody say, bring it.
Bring it.
The first thing is this, about the gift that you have to bring, is you are the gift. You are the gift. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes from verse 12, he says, just as one body, just as a body, the one has many parts. That's like us, look around the room, many parts. But all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, verse 26, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with this, while we were celebrating together a moment ago. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Paul in this moment is writing as part of his two letters to the Corinthian church. The church at this time is about 1.5 years old, and he's writing this letter against the culture of the time. See, what's happening in Corinth right now is it's a trading port between Europe and Asia. There's lots of different personalities, experiences, cultures. People from every walk of life are gathering at Corinth, from the rich to the lowly, from the people who've made it to the people who are broken. Think of it like the Vegas of the day, the Hollywood of the day. You've got the big shots and the people on the fringe and the edge of society. And even though Corinth is dominated by Roman rule, it's a Roman city, it's got these Greek influences and a prevailing Greek culture and thought. What I mean by that, there's a hierarchy taking place. It's superior versus inferior. There's a culture of one-man upship, a mentality that influences every area of society, from business to religion to family. And people in Corinth are so used to fighting for position, having to do the daily grind, the hustle necessary to get ahead at the cost of others. I think that's in some ways a lot like today's society, a hierarchy. And even there can be this mentality in the church, a jostling of position, a perceived status system of what is the best or most important. We think of it like this, people who have the most followers on TikTok or social media, they're the people who are top of society. We think of it on the platform, people who play instruments or who have a microphone, they must be at the top of the hierarchy of the church. We see it in churches built around one person's gift. Or we look at our wage slip at the end of the month and we look at that and decide that it tells us our value based on the figure. It's a perception, imagined, real hierarchy in our lives and in the church. This is where Paul is writing to in his letter, to this hierarchical system. And the danger with this, with creating a hierarchy, whether it's true or it's imagined, is that it cultivates the comparison trap. Comparison is a cycle that winds downwards and never winds upwards. Comparison causes you to look to others who you think have it much easier than you, have it much better than you, have more affluence or influence. You look at them and you get disappointed because they've got so much more than we do. Or with comparison, you look to people who aren't doing as well as you are in your perception, and suddenly you become prideful. This is the danger of comparison. Paul writes to the Corinthians. He comes against this culture, the status quo of comparison and hierarchy, and he writes this phrase. I say all of that so you can understand the power that's in this phrase. He says, but in the kingdom of God, there is one body, many parts, yet all equal. Chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you a part of it. Doesn't matter where you've come from, where you've been, how much money you've got in the bank account, your job, your position, your followers on social media. You are the body of Christ. And since you are the body of Christ, you are the gift to the world, the local church, called to be agents of transformation, called to transform society and culture, called to befriend the lonely, love the unforgivable, forgive the unlovable, and perform the impossible. And so today, before we unpack the gifts that we all have to offer, you've got to understand you are the gift. You are the gift. You've got to understand that your sonship is greater than your workmanship. Bible says this in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. Catch that, created in Christ Jesus, to then do good works which God has prepared in advance for us. So you are created first in the image of God, in the likeness of God, as a co-heir with Christ, seated with Christ on heavenly places. You are a son, a daughter of the King. And so this is of the most importance because our gift comes after our identity. Our identity is rooted in the things of God. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. If you're a Christian today, you're a son or daughter of God. If you're not a Christian, you're a son or daughter of God. But the difference is, because of his saving grace in my life, I'm now seated in heaven, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So I don't just walk through life on the back foot as the tail. I walk through life as a son of God, as a daughter of the King. And so I've got a decision on how I live my life based on who I am and my identity that I choose to live in. Paul's saying, you are the gift. And so as a co-heir with Christ today, you can command sickness to go in Jesus' name. Resources to flow in Jesus' name. Anxiety and the weight of worry has no hold on me. You can break off the bondage of the generational curse. Break off the lust of the flesh. Break off the fear of the future and the fear of man. Break off the poverty spirit, because you're a co-heir with Christ. And so you are the gift. Paul is saying, before you even get started on bringing your gifts to the house, serving God, you've got to understand that you are the gift. My gifts don't tell me who I am. In fact, my gifts flow out of my identity in Christ. So bring it. Bring what? Bring yourself into the house of God, because as the body of Christ, you are the gift. Turn to your neighbor and tell them. They don't believe it. Say, you are the gift. You are gift. The second thing about our gifts is your gift connects you to your purpose. Romans 12 verse 6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. The kids team, give it up for the kids team. The kids team have a gift to not just care for your kids, but to pour into them greatness and pull out of them their potential and purpose. Incredible gift in the kids team. Jonas today, it was his first week on bass. Give it up for Jonas. He's got a gift to play his part in releasing the presence of God into the atmospheres we worship. Connections team have a gift, not just to see the crowd, but to see the individual on a Sunday and remind them that they are seen, they are known, and they are loved. There's a variety of gifts in our house that connect us to our purpose. Just like the early church in Acts 4, verse 32. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had, shared all their gifts. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The gifts are all connected to one common purpose. The gifts of showing up and making every Sunday happen, every creative night, every time we gather for Alpha, every youth on a Friday night, every time we gather for small groups, every time we roll out one of our programs or something that we do as a church, we are bringing our gifts together, connecting to our purpose, and then in this verse, to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So it doesn't matter how inferior you might feel in your gifting, how superior you might feel in your gifting, we're all part of this beautiful tapestry connecting us together to testify to the Lord Jesus's resurrection. And so our gifts connect us to our purpose. What's our purpose? Matthew 28, 19, Jesus says this to the disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." So as the body of people, this is our purpose, leading men and women, boys and girls into relationship and discipleship with the Lord. But Pastor Lee, you don't understand. I just don't think I've got any gifts. Let me tell you, if you're created, loved by God, you've been born on purpose and for purpose. That's everybody in the room. So how do you identify your gift? From the youngest to the oldest. There's things, here's something that will give you a glimpse into your gift. Something that you find easier to do. There's an ease and maybe a grace on it to do that others find difficult. Not saying that is your gift or one of your gifts, but that's a glimpse into your gift. Romans 12, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So I want to suggest you got to bring your gift because it connects you to your purpose. Everybody say, bring it. The third thing about your gift is this, is the packaging makes way for the gift. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. Says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Back in our youth ministry in Gloucester, when I was a youth pastor there some years ago, we were doing youth one Friday night, and we had this new kid on guitar. And let me tell you, he was incredible as a guitarist. He played on bands. He was quite popular in the area. He had an incredible gift. And in the rehearsal leading up to the Friday night, we're talking about 15 minutes before the doors open and we kick off. He couldn't get the chords right, whatever it was in rehearsal. So this kid decided, instead of, you know, sticking it through, let's change the program a little bit. He packed up all of his stuff. He's 17, walked out, went home. We're looking at each other like, what do we do now? He had all of the gift, but was lacking in attitude. I want to suggest you can have all the gift in the world, but if you lack attitude, you'll feel to gain altitude in the kingdom of God, because you're attitude matters far more than your altitude. Your character matters far more than your competency. That verse we've just read was talking about, if I have the faith that could move mountains, who'd like that kind of faith? Give me some of that faith that I would speak to the mountain in your life and it would go. Give me some of that. Paul says, I can have all of this nice stuff, all of this great faith, but if I do not have love, then I am nothing. In other words, our gifts have to be founded and in the bedrock of love, in good character and in great attitude. You today are the gift. We've explained that already, but you're wrapped in the packaging of your personality. You're wrapped in the packaging of your language, of your actions, of your attitudes, of your behaviors. The most important thing to get right when bringing your gift to the house of God is anchoring it in love and in great attitude. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1 says, a good name is better than fine perfume. It's really easy for us in modern society to say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I am who I am. People can like it or lump it. But the Bible says your reputation precedes you. Your reputation is important. So what is reputation? Reputation is what is said of you when you're absent because of the impact you had when present. And so packaging matters. And your packaging will make way for your gift. How do I work on my character? How do I work on my attitude? You got to have a teachable spirit. And you've got to get around community that will encourage you, build you up, lift you up, but also challenge you and encourage you to see things maybe in the right way and shift your focus a little bit. Because the things that you think are your gift or your best gift actually might not be. And so we need a community around us to help us sharpen and help us grow the gift. Everybody say, bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it. My granny brings a gift every time to my mum for her birthday and for Christmas. We're great at giving presents in my family, aren't we? My granny will always wrap up for my mum for her birthday, big birthdays. She'll get her some tea towels. I know, tea towels. She thinks they're a great gift because, you know, they're practical and they'll serve her. And my mum is looking at this going, it's my birthday and you've gotten me tea towels. What is going on? Oh, my granny thinks they're a great gift, and my mum doesn't. You'll see it in Chester all the time. You walk through the street, there'll be some buskers. Some are great, and some are not so good. How about the ones that aren't so good? I want to suggest they've not had anybody in their life to encourage them in the right way, correct them, and show them, hey, maybe this isn't your gift. And so your packaging makes way for your gift. The last thing is this, is your gift fits. This is for some people in the room right now. So listen up, take notes. Your gift fits. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, your gift fits. Nehemiah 4, verse 13, as we come into land, says this. Nehemiah speaking says, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and arrows. The officers posted themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. The context here is Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 3, just before this, he lists every family and every task out. And it looks like a really boring list. 43 in all. 43 different groups of people all assigned a specific part of the build. And then in chapter 4, we see that within these groups, there were individual families assigned to specific jobs despite their circumstances. Everybody had a part to play. It's easy to think in Audacious Church that your gift doesn't fit. It's easy to think we've got it all together. It's easy to think the swan is gracefully sailing down the River Dee, but beneath the surface, the legs are kicking. Across the life of our house, this house, we need everybody and anybody. And everyone in between, to like Nehemiah did, to play their part in the building of God's house. And so your gift fits. It's easy to coast through life, isn't it? Be a spectator, show up on a Sunday and go home. But I want to suggest the task that we have ahead means that we need your gift. We need the gifts on the platform. We need the gifts in the streets. We need the gifts in the marketplace. We need the gifts in production. We need the gifts in the kids team. We need the gifts in small group. Your gift fits. God's given us all gifts. just takes us a little while to unpack what that truly looks like. How do you find out where you're graced, where your gift is? Simply just join a team. Just sign up. You're not signing up forever. Don't worry. Give it a month. It's not my thing. Try something else. Most of the people on production at the back that you think are exceptionally skilled people, although you are guys, you're amazing. They just give it a go. For the most part, just give it a go. I'm going to shout Haley at the back there, who's on AV. She's just pushing her pram with Rory in it, her little newborn son. Your gift fits. Isaac, who's on lights. He's in school. He's got exams. He's loads going on. Didn't know about lights before, but opened up his heart. Your gift fits. Right across the room, you've got a gift. And for a lot of us, it's not that we don't know what the gift is, it's that the gift is lying dormant. It's like a volcano. There's the potential on the inside for a spectacular event to take place, but there's something that's got to change in the natural to spark the explosion. For some of you, you've got a gift on the inside. I don't know what it is. It might be skill as a musician. It might be hospitality. It might be leadership. It might be in the community. It might be language translation. It might be entrepreneurship. It might be accessibility. Your gift fits. And so you don't need to wait for us to create a team or a program that fits your gift. I'm going to suggest you got to come knocking on the door. Say, hey, I've got a gift. And you know what we'll say? Your gift fits. We've just got to find out where. Because this is the church. An audacious church, bold, fearless, challenge the status quo. An audacious church, we believe we will hear the inaudible, we will see the invisible, we will do the improbable, and we will attempt the impossible together. And we need your gift. So this whole series, we've been talking about being all together in the house, coming to church weekly at the temple, coming to our tables that are our small groups, bringing our gift to the one place in the house of God. And so today there's been lots of different messages spoken about being all together. And I want to implore you, as we keep moving forward, as we keep, like the Bible says in Acts 4, as we keep seeing God's grace work powerfully through us in the community and in the house, in the Alpha Holy Spirit Day and things to come like Freedom Day, we're going to continue to see God's grace work powerfully as we together testify to the resurrection. And if we're going to do the impossible, attempt the improbable, we need your gift. So your action today is this. Find someone. Sign up area, youth team, kids team, production guys, I don't know. Find somebody and say, hey, think the word of God was speaking to me today. I've got a gift. How does that look? And together, let's see each and every person's gift fit and build the church of our dreams so that when we're in Jesus' name over at the building, and in years to come, when we're doing multiple services, we'll look back and together we'll all say, yeah, I'm glad I brought my gift into the house of God. Because then we didn't watch the miracle happen at a distance. We all played our part to facilitate what God was doing.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.